This is the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, a podcast for diehard Cleveland Indians fans. Presented to you by WaitingForNextYear.com. Now, here are the hosts, Matt and Todd Dairy.
Final week of the regular season, everybody. It's a Tuesday edition of the Dairy Brothers Tribecast on WaitingForNextYear.com, brought to you by our friends at the Center for Advanced Dentistry and BreakingT.com t-shirts. Matt and Todd with you. What's going on, brother? It's you were there yesterday for the last game of Indians at Progressive Field, which, you of course, you were there, and you should have been there, and you represented our family, which was much appreciated. They got a win, but now two under 500, two up on the unnamed team for second place with six to play, and then the season's over, and I start whining that there's no games on during the week. But how are you, sir?
It's a two for Tuesday. Let's hear from back-to-back.
Where's Dancing Danny Wright when you need him?
Dancing Danny Wright. Yeah. Was he on GCL or was he on the buzzer?
I think he was on 92.3. Wasn't it 92.3 back in the day?
No, 98.5.
Is that NCX now?
Yes. What about 107.9?
JLB? No, that's Detroit. What about the WZ? No, what about WZAK? The WZAK?
Langford the Man Stevens? 93.1?
I mean,
the station was the best.
Unbelievable. Saturday nights were just unbelievable.
What was it? The Saturday? Oh, my God. What's wrong with me? What was it called?
Wasn't it the Saturday Night Mix Party? And then for Lovers? What about For Lovers Only? For Lovers
Talk.
Pillow talk.
Yeah. Let's talk some old school radio. No, I had to be there yesterday, you know. It was the last time, and I saw a lot of first of all, I had to take a gander one more time at that script Indians on the scoreboard and
did you take any pictures?
Yeah, I did. I took one picture, but you know what?
As long as you have it for old time's sake.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you saw the renderings of what the new scoreboard's going to look like, and it's essentially going to be the exact same thing because Guardians in script looks almost like Indians in script, so I don't think it's going to change that much. But yeah, you know, I had to be down there. I thought it was very cool. The fans were great yesterday, actually, and it was good that they ended the season at home on a high note. And you know, your boy Ahmed just spent the entire season shoving it right up your ass.
Okay, settle down.
Now, did you know that he has the most four-hit games of any Indian in 30 years? And you know who that player was?
Andre Thornton?
Joe Carter, please. Andre Thornton probably never had four hits in a game. Guy was so
old. I will admit that Ahmed Rosario has totally been so much better than I ever thought with the bat. But this is not Cal Ripken here. Let's slow down.
All I know is the redacted ex shortstop's 10-year contract kicks in next
year,
He had a worse year than Ahmed did.
Oh, not even. Oh, yeah, for sure. We won the trade at least so far. I'm not going to argue that. You're doing this victory lap like we got Ozzie Smith over here. Like, hold on a second. I mean, he's excellent. All right, he should be in left field next year. We've talked about it ad nauseum. But man, I mean, you're right. For the last day and the last game, and then Cal struggled early, but then Ahmed hit the home run and put us up for good. Yeah, man, he's a keeper. And there's not many keepers on this team when it comes to the regular everyday lineup, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, when they made the trade, when they sent the redacted ex shortstop to New York, the hope was that one of those two guys would eventually become, between Andres Jimenez or Andreas, as the play-by-play man calls him, would become the everyday shortstop and be a fixture in the lineup for a long time. And, the jury's still out on Jimenez, and he played second base a lot when he came back up, mostly. But Ahmed has put himself in the conversation that he's going to be an everyday player somewhere next year, and he was very good this season. And I don't know if we thought that would be the case. I mean, you can see that's the thing we've talked about it so much is, he was a top five prospect in baseball not that long ago, and you see the tools. It's just the hope is that he got out of New York. Not, you know, the Cleveland is not the pressure zone that New York is, as the redacted X shortstop has learned over and over and over again.
I mean, there aren't any columnists. There aren't any columnists in town that really hammer the team and ask tough questions. What are you talking about?
Well, I wouldn't even say that.
I'm making a joke.
No. I know, but I'm saying like the Indians, soon to be Guardians in 1 week, are not really worth hammering. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, when the New York Mets are bad, then they get hammered because it's New York. But when the Cleveland Indians or Cleveland Guardians are bad, they don't get hammered. They get ignored. That's just kind of how it works around here.
By the way, this will probably be the second to last Dairy Brothers Tribe cast. We have to figure out a new name. Do we call it the Guardians cast?
No, that just doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't.
We'll just have to come up with something. You know, we'll put our heads together and we'll come up with a plan. But I mean, we'll be back next year when we're at the top of the division again. That's with that rotation, that dominating rotation.
You know, I mean, look, I live in a city where they think the team's going to be in first place next year. I mean, they're like, yeah, we're getting Carlos Correa and JV back and Torkelson and Green. We're going to be great. We're going to be contenders. It's like, slow down. You know, our rotation.
JV. Oh, JV. Oh, they think they're going to re-sign Verlander? Is that the plan?
No, are you kidding me? That's where Justin wants to go. Justin wants to come back where he can get cuddled and coddled and stroked
all year long.
people here love themselves some JV.
Can I tell you something? I want that to happen in the worst way because it'll just make that rivalry really get that rivalry back going again. I mean, I know, listen, for those who don't know this, you know, about you, and I think they have by now if they're regular listeners, but you've been living in the greater Detroit area for how many years now? 25 years. But obviously you bleed red, white, and blue here, but to be in that city and have to listen to those obnoxious fans, and everyone knows you're the Indians guy.
Well, right. And actually, in the unnamed team's fans' defense, they're not bad, especially at games. Like, I can go to Comerica Park and not be harassed. They're pretty good there.
That's good.
But I think there's media here in Detroit that just, it's cheerleader. See, it's cheerleader one, cheerleading 101. It's ridiculous. And, I mean, A.J. Hinch has done a whale of a job. He's done great. Like, they've won. They're only two games behind us. They're like 75 wins or whatever, which nobody expected. But my gosh, to sit here and say they're going to contend next year, yeah, they may sign Correa or Story. They're going to get a shortstop. I don't know if the owner's going to spend, but let's pump the brakes here on Scooble, Mize, Torkelson, and Green being the next big four, the next, you know, core four, like Posada and Rivera and Jeter. Like, please, settle down. That's what drives me crazy.
There's only one core four: Blake Costanzo, Jason Trusnick, Bubba Ventrone, and Sorensen.
Nick Sorensen.
That's the real core four. I don't know what you're talking about. No, but in all seriousness, I would love it if Verlander went back to the unnamed team because I'm trying to think of a baseball player that the two baseball players I think I've hated the most over the last 25 years are Aroldis Chapman and Verlander, and Miggy's a close third. I can't imagine. It just would be great.
I don't know how much money he's going to want, but I know that they would bring him back here in a second because he'd sell tickets. But look, I mean, where the Indians are right now with this rotation, to go back to the beginning, like you said, it's really good. And now you throw Eli Morgan in the mix and the way he's pitched lately, to have six starters to go to spring training with these six guys, you got to have depth. We saw it this year. The biggest reason why the Tribe faltered, yeah, the offense has not been very good and corner outfield and everything else that we've talked about. But when you're forced to start, you know, Logan Allen, J.C. Mejia, Sam Henches, guys like that who aren't ready, it stunts your growth, man. It still starts and finishes with pitching, and I think this organization knows that.
And that was a big stretch of time, and it basically, when the season fell off, is when It was bad when they lost Bieber, and it was worse when they had no Bieber, no Savali, and no Plesak, and it kind of all happened at once. And McKenzie was really struggling at that time, and they never had any plan on J.C. Mejia getting up here this quickly and Eli Morgan this quickly. Sam Hentges, not a starting pitcher, as we've talked about many times, but the growth that we've obviously seen from Tristan McKenzie, Cal Quantrill becoming, a top of the rotation looking starter, at least middle of the rotation starter. And then, you know, I think that Eli Morgan has done such a nice job and put himself in the conversation. His last start this week, last weekend, Saturday, against the White Sox, he pitched six innings of one run ball, six strikeouts.
Well, that's the thing. The last two starts, if you throw the Yankee start too in the Bronx,
six innings, one run.
Really, really good starts because they're against legitimate lineups. And, you know, I know the White Sox right now are kind of cruising, but still, I mean, that's impressive. And it's not like, well, he had a good start against the Royals or, you know, he was pitching in the big ballpark against Detroit and a bunch of guys were out. I mean, you go into New York and you pitch well against the White Sox, who hit the ball in our place. That's pretty good. And for a guy that doesn't throw that hard, and I know hit the siren here for another old bit, but Josh Tomlin sort of pitch alike. But still, you got to have some depth. And if he starts next year at AAA and someone gets hurt and they got to bring him up, at least now he's got that stuff in his arsenal that he can bring with him. So I like it. I like it. Other guys are coming. The problem is, who are we identifying as the guys that are coming from a position standpoint? We don't know. We don't. Nobody's a lock. And, you know, I was listening to Hammy yesterday in the car when I was driving, listening to the game. And he was talking about, you know, Yu Chang and Zimmer and these guys. And he's like, look, the organization, there's 1 week to go. Even if a guy hits six home runs in the last six games, that doesn't guarantee anything. The organization knows what they have in a lot of these guys, which I thought was pretty telling coming from Tom. But, you know, in between his glowing reviews of the Royals roster.
I think he would marry Dayton Moore if he could.
Hammy loves the Royals. He just does.
Loves Dayton Moore. Oh my God. It's like every time we play the Royals, he's just on and on about what a great franchise they well run, and Dayton Moore. Oh my God, it's ridiculous.
He was telling stories about how Kowar and Singer were at Florida together and they won a national championship. He loves college baseball, Hammy. So it was like
nobody loves it more. We talked about it with him on the pod before the season.
That's right. That's right. So
we asked him about it, and he gave us like a 10-minute answer. It was fantastic.
But I don't think Eli is going to make the rotation out of the spring next year. I mean,
if all five guys are healthy, and we're talking Bieber, Quantrill, McKenzie, Plesak, and Savali, if all five guys are healthy and pitching decently well. No, he's not going to make the rotation, but he will be the first man up, and he'll be the opening day starter in Columbus. And, you know, between him and hopefully Cody Morris, who's looked great at two different levels, you know, you got six and seven right there. So, and you, listen, like you said before, you always are going to need more. We learned it this year. You know, I think they did a good job in stealing Connor Pilkington away from the White Sox organization. You know, they had a 40-man roster. He was Rule 5 eligible, and the White Sox obviously are going for it, and they needed Cesar Hernandez, who, by the way, has been terrible for the White Sox.
Well,
White Sox fans don't like him.
No, he's actually been better like the last week. He had a two-run double yesterday against the unnamed team and then made a decent play. I actually watched some of that game. Don't ask me why, but I did. But you're right. Yes,
long. I wanted them to lose.
Right, right. I'm always rooting against them. He's been better lately. But yes, his option will not be picked up. No way. No way.
Yeah, and you know the fact that the Indians saw an opportunity to get somebody who they can actually use. I mean, sometimes you know it's a guy who you're trying to dump, and then it's throw a dart and hope that whoever prospect is going to make it, but Pilkington was somebody who has legitimate upside, and he will be one of these guys that will probably be added to the 40-man. It's another starting pitcher. He's left-handed. So, hey, I'm all for it. Yeah. Listen, I thought it was. I thought at the time it was a smart move, especially considering the fact that, yes, were the Indians better with Cesar Hernandez playing second base and leading off at the time? Yes, but it gave Andrés Giménez more at bats. It gave Owen Miller more at bats. Gave even you could say he gave Yu Chang more at bats, Ernie Clement more at bats. All of these guys that they had to evaluate as part of the future got the at bats they needed because those last 2+ months, Cesar Hernandez was no longer on the roster. So it was a smart move.
Matt and Todd, with you, Dairy Brothers Tribecast on a Tuesday. Tribe heads to Kansas City, where they haven't lost this year, by the way. 7-0 at Kauffman Stadium this year. So they'll play
13-3 against them overall, too.
Yeah. Though they got 3 with the Royals Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then 3 in Texas against the Rangers. And if you care about finishing in second place, they have a 2-game lead with 6 to go. The unnamed team plays the Twins and the White Sox. That ought to get interesting this weekend because Dallas Keuchel kind of said, look, if I get to face them again this weekend, I may have something for them. He didn't use the word retaliate, but yesterday, in case you missed it, there was a bench-clearing scuffle. Not any punches thrown, but Tony La Russa at it again. Like, I mean, just he's such an asshole, you know?
Couldn't have said it better myself.
like you know, Jose Abreu gets hit in a one-run game. There wasn't it. No one's hitting anybody in a one-run game. Detroit got it from 8-2 to 8-7. You think Abreu's getting hit on purpose? The guy's been hit 21 times this year. And then La Russa comes strolling out, kind of staring and hinch. Like, come on. I rarely ever defend Detroit baseball, but give me a break.
I mean, you remember earlier in the year with the bases loaded in a one-run game, 99 hit Abreu, and it was a one-run game, and it was like the eighth inning, and that was when La Russa came out and
shoved Roberto
Hernandez. Yeah. I mean, Roberto Perez. I mean, that was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Which Roberto Hernandez were you thinking of, the reliever or
Fausto?
Or the former Fausto Carmona?
I don't know why I even said that. Who is the Roberto Hernandez, the former White Sox
club. And Indians. He was an Indians reliever too. He was with us, wasn't he?
We did have him for a cup of coffee. That is true. Who came up with that term, cup of coffee? He had him for a cup of coffee. Hear that used.
I know. Yeah, I hear it used. I hear it used by one person.
Matt Underwood?
Yes. Man, let's talk about the two lanes on chagrin one more time. There might be some fisticuffs over the weekend. The White Sox actually need a bit of a pick-me-up because they're kind of playing pretty lazy baseball, to be honest.
They are
cruising
into the playoffs, and I think that I think they're going to be in for some trouble. As much as I like them as a team,
oh, they're loaded.
I mean, Lance Lynn hasn't been pitching well lately. Keuchel is not great. I think. I mean, they've been a 500 team essentially for the last 3 months.
Yeah,
because they know they have they're on cruise control. But the thing is, all those teams in the AL East have had to just go because they're all competing. I mean, between the Red Sox, Yankees, and Blue Jays, they're all separated essentially by a game for the wild card spots. And Tampa hasn't let up at all. And basically the same thing in the West between Houston and Oakland and the Mariners. So there's only been one team that hasn't really had to, you know, I'm not going to say they're not trying because of course they're trying, but you know, it's not as we've learned with anything with these Indians playoff teams of the last, basically since 2017, you can't just turn it on come October and just hope that things are going to work out because they don't.
Yeah, but
if you're not playing well, it's going to show.
But when we won 22 in a row, then we got into the playoffs and got blistered. I mean, it's like, you know, we were playing for a lot at that point.
We got blistered. We were up 2-0 and gagged is what I would say.
Well, yeah, but still, I mean, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to rehash, but I will never forget saying to the kids in the car on the way home after that extra inning, just that game just took 5 years off my life in game two when Jan hit the walk off and we were in the car and all four of us were so excited. And I said to the kids, you guys are going to remember this game the rest of your life. I said, teams don't come back after debilitating losses like that. To win 3 games.
Wait, I wasn't aware of that conversation.
Oh,
nice
yeah.
job.
Oh yeah.
Jeez.
I was like, I said to a bunch of people after that debilitating loss, like they're going to come back and beat us three straight times. And the way we were playing, it wasn't going to happen.
All right, real fast. Game three in the Bronx, Carrasco pitched well. Andrew Miller gave up a solo to who? Who was
Greg Bird.
Thank you. Okay, Greg Bird.
Lefty.
Shit.
Greg fucking Bird. Yes, yeah. I remember. We lost one. Lost that game 1-0.
Went upper tank on us, I think. He smoked that ball. Damn.
Yes, he did. Well, the dumbest thing in that whole series was Carrasco was our best starter, and he pitched one game.
I know.
He had Kluber
That's right.
lined up for he had Kluber, who was hurt, lined up for 2-5, and he let Carrasco, who was his hottest starter, pitch game three in the Bronx, which was he pitched great, but then you didn't have him for game five. And Kluber was terrible in game five.
We have to move on from this because I'm starting to get nauseated here. All right, 40-man spots. And again, Hammy was talking about this yesterday. Look, you know, it's the last week. Like yesterday, Bradley Zimmer took his brother deep. It was like, that's a cute story. Okay, but
I will say this.
I'm done with him.
Very, very cool. Yeah, me too.
Done with him.
Great sign-off.
See ya. Like that base running debacle last week. What the hell was that?
Oh, my God. You mean when he...
Bobby Bradley drops the bat because he thinks it's gone, and Zimmer's going back to tag? Like, what are you doing? Then the next day, was it the next inning or next game?
It was the next batter who singled and he didn't get home from second. It was the next batter in a single to left.
I mean, what is this guy doing?
He didn't score.
Enough.
The man allegedly got crazy wheels. He couldn't get there, I don't know.
I'm done with him. Mercado hit a walk-off the other night. Oscar seems like a great guy. Done with him, too. Daniel Johnson obviously won't be back. The guy can't even play now on a 28-man roster at the end of the season. So, you know, this idea of, well, we're going to pick a few guys. Who? Who are you keeping? Maybe Harold? Maybe? But the rest? Yu Chang, I guess.
Here's the way I look at it in terms of position players. Okay, Roberto Perez has that $7.5 million option for
Bye.
Next year. There's a better chance of Mercado and Zimmer both being back together than that option being picked up. So this will be. I love Roberto.
He's done.
It's time to move on for Roberto.
Finished.
So Roberto's out. Okay. So basically, here I'm going to give you your locks on the position side. Austin Hedges, that's one. I'm talking straight major. I'm only talking about guys on the current 26, 28 man. Bobby Bradley, 2. Jimenez, 3. Owen Miller, 4. Jose Ramirez, 5. Ahmed Rosario, 6. You got to add Naylor back at 7, but right now he's not in the 40 man because he's on
Fran Mill
and Miles Straw, that's 9. Okay, so that puts you at 9 of your current position players, okay? And then Gabriel Arias is already on the 40-man, so that's 10. You got Nolan Jones already there, that's 11. Right now, Ernie Clements, right? You got to keep him on the 40-man.
I
got to keep Ernie.
Yeah.
That's 12. Yeah. What about Yu Chang?
Not a lock. You said locks.
That's what I'm saying. Do you?
He's 26. 25.
He was born on in 1990, August of 95. So that would make him
26.
But I think that he's done enough to where right now you're.
He'll get a spot. Yes.
He will get a spot.
He can play multiple positions. He's hit the ball pretty hard the second half.
All right. What about Harold?
Not a lock, but I mean, I guess.
Not a lock.
You have to have you have to field a team. You can't just.
That's true.
I mean, and it's not like, we're signing 2 free agent outfielders. Like, unless you make a trade, you know? I mentioned Whit Merrifield being a trade candidate when we had Andre Knott on, because I think the Royals are going to move on from him. He doesn't make a lot of money.
We bought him now. I wanted him 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, sure, I'd love him.
But look at his stats. He's like third in the league in hits. He's like first in stolen bases. I mean, he's still pretty good. But you're right.
I
he's 31-32.
Love him, but yeah, this isn't Whit Merrifield. Well, I don't know. I would take him in 2 seconds. I would. I'd take him. It just depends on what you give. And then you got Zimmer and Harold and Mercado to make a decision on. And, I don't think Mercado or I think they're going to keep Zimmer. I do. I think that they –
I've had enough.
I have too, but I think that he's going to be a be the extra outfielder. I really do.
Well, if he's the guy, then Harold's gone. You can't keep them both.
You can't keep both?
Why would you?
Lobster and the crack crab?
Can't we have both?
That's right. That's right. So then you got a bunch of guys that you have to add. So Tyler Freeman has to be added. Brian Lavastida, the catcher at Double A, has to be added.
He's a Triple A now. He's done a good job.
Yes, they moved him up to Triple A, but I'm saying he is, if he's not added, so for
what
those
about
who
Oscar
really
Gonzalez?
Yeah, for those who don't understand, there's the Rule 5 draft that comes every year. Essentially, you can pick guys off of other teams that are unprotected from the 40-man. But if you take them in the major league phase of the draft, they have to stay on the major league roster for a full year. Or you have to return them to the other team if they want them. So last year, the Indians took Trevor Stephan off the Yankees, and that's why he was never sent down, and he spent the entire year with the roster. So Lavastida's got to be added. I mean, that guy would be grabbed in a heartbeat.
He might make the team next year.
He could.
Say he has a big spring.
What about George Valera? He's probably your best outfield prospect.
I'm infatuated with him. Like
someone
I'm seriously
in
I'm serious. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? Add him right
yes.
now today.
So he has to be added.
That bat flip, man. Oh my gosh, that guy.
What about Brian Rocchio? He's got to be added too.
Of course.
Yeah. So those guys are all. Then also on the pitching side, Cody Morris must be added. Pilkington must be added, and then the left-hander that they got from the Padres that they really like, Joey Cantillo, he has to be added. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have to be added. So I know, and you know, when it comes down to it, you're going to have to make major decisions. Like here, you know, who's the guy who's on the 40-man right now who completely disappeared from the radar? Kyle Nelson. What happened to him?
They'll expose him. He doesn't throw hard enough. Anytime they brought him up, he's gotten hit.
Bad.
He'll get
bad.
Exposed and somebody will take him. He's a left-handed reliever. Somebody would take him.
Here's another couple guys. Cam Hill. You know, he was up last year, was supposed to be kind of the new hotness for the bullpen.
Yeah, that didn't
struggled
last. That didn't last long. He doesn't throw hard enough.
Right. Great kid. Got into the car accident, didn't return this year. So you got, you know, he's a potential guy you may be looking at. And then Scott Moss, been on the 40-man.
He's been hurt for 2 years. That's the problem.
Yeah, but that's a guy that you.
But you like
you know,
his stuff.
It's still a left-handed starting pitcher, and you always can. You can never have too many starting pitchers.
Yeah, you're rolling with man. You're doing a great job on this. You're like.
Well, I'll tell you who else has to be at it. Your boy. Richie Palacios.
There you go. King Richard.
He's going to come. I mean, that's another guy you got to keep, right?
Yeah, we're loaded. We actually have positional prospects. How about this?
Well, we've been waiting for years, but it's always been the low minors is where
These guys have finally moved up. You know, yes. They've finally gotten that chance. Let's talk Will Benson.
Yeah, I'm fine with exposing him. Yeah. He's another guy that has to be that is on the.
They've waited a long time. He has his moments, but
I just don't think it's there. I don't think he's a major leaguer. There are two guys, him and Stephen Kwan. They both need to be. You know, they can both be exposed, but I don't. I feel like
Stephen Kwan feels like Kai Tom.
Kai Tom, I was gonna say.
but he's hit. He's had a great year this year, Kwan. Like he's hitting like 350 something, I think.
Killing it. And with that upside and the fact that he's an outfielder and we have so many bad outfielders, maybe that's a guy you got to add to. I don't know. I love this nerd shit, man.
Hit the Kwan.
Deep prospect talk.
this is over the top. I feel like I gotta take a shower right now. Oh, mercy.
Oh, here. I got another question for you.
Yeah.
Another topic. Has Anthony Ghost locked himself up a job for 2022?
I think so. Just as Zach Meisel. He's like president of the Ghost fan club. The dude's a weird dude, but like, hey, throwing 100 from the left side, and then the other night, was it against the White Sox when he came in and was mixing in some breaking stuff and looked good? I think there's going to be some times where he walks the ballpark, but they've worked with him this long to just give up after they created this robot. You know, it's like they put the parts together. He's been in the system a few years now, converted from outfield. I think they're holding on to him, and I think he's going to be a part of the mix next year.
I think he's got to be, right? I mean, yeah. like you said, to your point, two and a half years they have put in working on him and giving him all the tools to succeed, and you know, the pitching factory. And how often do you find a guy throwing that hard from the left side? I mean, really, if they can get another offseason where he can really fine-tune that second pitch to go with that fastball that he has command of, he might really have something there.
Yeah.
I can't see how they expose him and let him walk after all the. I mean, someone will grab him in 2 seconds if they
yes,
let him go.
I agree. And you look at next year's bullpen and you say, all right, well, Brian Shaw's going to be a free agent, but I definitely think he'll be back. And while fans have their Shaw issues and every summer we go, oh, God, get him out of here. Meantime, yesterday, pitched the eighth in a 3-run game. I mean, he's...
Every damn day, baby.
You know, I mean, obviously, Class A, you know, it appears that 99 is working some kinks out in Columbus. Now, again, that's a different level. I mean, that's such a lower level. The gap between AAA and the majors right now has never been wider. But he's somebody that has got to be in the mix for next year. Of course, you're not giving up on a young arm like that.
Sam Hentges out of options.
Right. Stefan,
you gotta believe
would be a bullpen Stefan. Guy. Stefan is in. You know.
Justin Garza?
Well, I mean, look, you're going to have to round out the pen with some guys and a few ham and eggers. But those type of guys we seem to find, we work with. And you know, it's not like they're going to go out and spend money on a free agent reliever. You know, Kendall Graveman coming
well,
here?
They'll never do that.
Right, I mean, that's not happening.
We also forget, I forget this all the time, Nick Sandlin would probably be pitching the eighth inning every single time with a lead had he not gotten hurt. He was great this year, and he's got a bright future in the back
sure.
of that pen.
So there's plenty of options. Plenty of options there, but I like Ghost. I like what I'm seeing, and why not give him a chance? So I think I'm with you on that. I think he'll be around.
To quote the great George Costanza, I'm down. Mark me down.
That's right. So next week at this time, like I'm going to be in my just pure depression, you know. I might watch the AL wild card game, but
For sure. If it's Yankees and if it's two of those AL East teams like Yankees, Red Sox or Red Sox Blue Jays or something, you'll watch for sure.
I'll tell you this. The Mariners are a bitch. They are playing.
Do you believe that?
I don't know what
that
is. Scott Service must be a miracle worker because he's got that pen. You know, they traded Graveman. It looked like it was over. It looked like the Mariners were going to have a mutiny. And that pen is locked down. And, you know, Haniger last night hits two homers. Like, Ty France is a thing. They play hard.
Jake Bowers, baby. He's going to be playing October baseball. Come on, your boy.
Oh, my
God. No, but you know what, though? Here's the most amazing stat of them all. Did you know that they are 87-70 and their run differential is minus 52?
Yeah, that's nuts.
They're a minus
when they lose, yeah, when they lose, they get destroyed.
Wait, that is so unbelievable.
It is.
They're 17 games over. Here. Did you know the unnamed team is 6 games under .500 and they're minus -53?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
It's an incredible stat. So it's very impressive. I gotta give them credit. I really do.
All right, let's wrap this thing up. All right, so tonight, Aaron Civale against Brady Singer. Wednesday night, Zach Plesac against Daniel Lynch. Thursday, Shane Bieber pitching for one last time. Good to see him back last week. Royals have not announced their starter yet for that game. And then over the weekend, they go to Texas to play a very bad Rangers team. Eli Morgan Friday against Jordan Lyles. Saturday, Tristan McKenzie against Spencer Howard. No relation to Spencer Barnes, by the way.
Does Spencer Howard have a file of facts, you think?
And
Togs for tennis?
And then Cal Quantrill against Dane Dunning on Sunday, and then this at 3:05, and then the season is over. How would you? I mean, we'll do a season recap next week, but like, I don't know. This season's been weird. I'm not even that mad about not being in it, but like about not being in the tournament next week. But I don't know. I don't know why I'm usually am angry, but I'm not. I don't know why. Maybe it's because all the injuries.
And we've been out of it for so long, so it's sunk in by now. Like, it was worse. What was the year? It was the year the Nationals won. So it's 2019 when we basically down the stretch, we were there. And then we went to, remember, it was the last weekend of the season and we had to either take two or three or beat the Nationals, and they swept us and they just kicked
our ass. That was so ugly.
Yeah. I was pissed about that. But, you know, this season was a lot. It was all about learning about the kids and development, especially once the big three starters got hurt. And, we got the name change coming. Bright future ahead. So I'm not all that upset. I will say this, one last thing. You know, I was looking at the Royals, and they don't have a starter for Thursday. And for some reason, it brought me back to when I covered the Royals in the summer of 97 for Fox 4, and I used to go into the locker room and, you know, hold the microphone and ask questions. And Kevin Apier was one of the biggest pricks on the planet.
Good old number 55.
Guy was such an asshole.
Yeah.
He was one of these guys who used to walk around totally naked just to piss off the media. Like,
you can't do that anymore.
Well, it's because there's women in there.
Right. Well, that
in 1997, I don't remember ever seeing a woman in the locker room. I mean, it was ridiculous. He just walked around naked and he'd yell at people and he'd act like a dick and he, you know, guy was the worst. But it also reminded me that summer, the manager of the Royals was Bob Boone, and the Royals had lost like 15 in a row. And I had to go every night, and I was going to these games. And these guys didn't want to talk. The only two guys that ever talked were Johnny Damon and Bip Roberts. And Johnny Damon couldn't put a sentence together. He was so dumb at the time. Like, he literally couldn't. I wish I could. I mean, I have this like VCR tape of like my work. I wish I could go back and watch it, because I remember interviewing him, and he couldn't put a sentence together. But Bip was the best. Guy was super awesome. And then that summer, he was traded to the Indians. But Bob Boone was such a dick, and then he got fired. And everybody, like, I was terrified of him. We used to have to go into that room where he'd give the press conference.
Stick the microphone in there.
And I would ask him a question, and he looked at me, and we just with such anger. And then he got fired, and they replaced him with Tony Muser, who was the single nicest human being I'd ever been a part of. So I'd ever been around at the time, so. It was that and Shane Halter, the hottest girlfriend I've ever seen in my life. Those are my takeaways from my summer covering the Royals.
Wow, that's good stuff. Where'd you intern again?
Jimmy Pitsley. I was also at Jim Pitsley's first major league win. I can remember that.
I don't even know where this is going. This is crazy.
I don't either. I was looking at the Royals and it brought me back to when I covered them.
Wow,
that was some good shit.
All right, well, we'll recap the last week and we'll put a bow on this one. Don't you hate when Oh, man. Book it. We'll do that next week. All right. We're brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry and BreakingTea.com. Go to BreakingTea.com/dairy. Get all your Tribe, Browns. Hey, Cavs Media Day yesterday. Get yourself a Sexland T-shirt. BreakingTea.com/dairy takes you right to the Cleveland Collection.
Hey, I heard they have a new shirt coming out for Dean Wade and Mitch Balak, the pride of the state of Kansas, baby. I looked at that roster yesterday. If that team wins 22 games, I'd be stunned.
It'd be an improvement from last year. So I don't know. All right, Dairy Brothers Tribecast for another week. The final week of the season. We'll talk to you again next week to kind of wrap up the entire season. We are out of room and out of here.
Don't you know that you're a grown-up? I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X grown-up.
Every week, the Gen X grown-up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, GenXGrownUp.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, you think that was good enough?
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right.
I've never done it.
Right.